Hello and welcome to IVF BFF with me, Sian.
And me, Catherine.
A podcast detailing IVF in real time and shining a light on the experience of infertility.
Join us as we lift the lid and demystify all things fertility, sharing our stories, the highs and the lows, and everything in between.
Okay, hello everyone.
Hi everybody. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm all right. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm all right. This is what, our second series? That makes us sound proper, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Like proper podcasters.
Yeah. New series.
Series two.
Yeah. Hitting it off with a bang. You're in the midst of treatment at the moment, aren't you?
Literally deep in treatment. Yeah. Where should we start, guys?
Well, I think, for those who maybe didn't hear the bonus episode,
Shall we catch you up?
Yeah, start back.
Yeah, so we did a little bonus episode just before Mother's Day. So we've had Mother's Day as well, which is a weird one. But before that, I was talking about gearing up for our frozen embryo transfer. Because those of you who don't know, at mine and my husband's first round of IVF recently failed. And we are now, luckily, we can go for a frozen transfer quite quickly. I mean, it feels quick. When was that? We got the negative in February.
Yeah.
Early Feb, and now it's early April, so a couple of months. So we are gearing up for that. And I will tell you about the scans and stuff. We've had Mother's Day, haven't we, Sian?
Yeah, we have.
I hope everyone was okay, because it can be such a weird, difficult day for so many people. I managed to stay offline, mostly.
Yeah.
I got a bit scrolly during the day, as the day went on, and Carl caught me once. He was like, stop it, put your phone away. And I was like, hey, you don't tell me off. But he was like, I know, but I'm just trying to protect you. I'm like, I know. Because I did tell him to tell me off if he caught me on the socials. But yeah, spent the day with Carl and the dog. Went for a massive walk, like a 2.5 hour walk. The dog was absolutely exhausted. But like we live down by the riverside, the River Thames. And so through like some woodland, and it was so nice. And then, yeah, had a really nice chill. It was a long day. I got to 4 o'clock and I was like, is it not bedtime yet? Like, can I go to bed yet? But then had a really hot bath whilst I can. And yeah, it could have been a lot worse. How was yours, Sian? Sian's just telling off her cats.
Sorry. Pixie is, hey, come on, stop it now. She doesn't understand what I say. At least with a dog, they kind of understand.
Oh, Sweep understands every word, okay. But does he listen to me? Oh. No. He's like, I don't care, I'm going to bark anyway. I've managed to pop him downstairs, because now we have our little office space, which listeners will remember. We haven't talked about it on the podcast, but on Instagram.
Yeah.
Sorry, tangent galore. But we changed our box room into a little office, because for ages it had been the room of doom and it had been the would-be-a-baby room. And it just accumulated so much crap. And so we just went, after the first round, we went, you know what? Let's live for the now. Let's do something for us. Let's reclaim this space. And we made it into a little office, and now we can use it. And now I'm like, oh, I'd quite like to keep it. We might shove the baby in the other room.
Yeah,
when we have one.
To be fair, it does look so nice.
It's so cozy, and it's a game changer. Although we keep joking. I keep saying to Carl, he's like, I'm just going to head up to the office, do some work. I'm like, have you booked it? Have you booked it out? It's actually my office and I should charge you rent. So Sweep is now downstairs, so he's not going to bark. Anyway, what were we saying?
We were talking about Mother's Day.
Yes, it could have been a lot worse. How was yours, Sian?
I think you know, I feel like my Mother's Day this year was obviously a bit different because of my situation. It's still not an easy thing, but I was more concerned about other people, really.
Yeah.
And what they were going through, because that's much harder. And so I was kind of on the inbox, just making sure, you know, people were there and they had a hug.
Because we did have quite a few, you know, people reach out to us. And someone said to me the other day, actually, how they feel like they know us and they feel like we're mates and they can just like chat, which is so nice, really. And that's what we're here for. You know, we set this up because we want to just like be an ear for people. I love the chats we have with people on Instagram. I've got some mates now.
Yeah. No, people are lovely. Really, really nice. And
really
sweet. Yeah.
And you
really
were lovely, Sian. You were so like, I had some quite nice texts from friends and people. So that was very nice. Just checking in, just saying, you know, I'm thinking of you today. And when people do that, you go, oh, you've recognised that it's not sunshine and rainbows for a lot of people. So that was nice.
Isn't it interesting, though, how, like, some people, though, probably go, I don't understand why that's an issue?
Oh, 100%. And they'll go, what? Like, why are you upset? Like, yeah. But if you get it, you get it. And, yeah, again, like, a lot of people don't, but we definitely do, don't we?
Yeah, definitely. Yes. So update our listeners on, you know, where you're at.
Yeah, so we were just about to start scans. My period arrived. Yeah, my period had arrived before then, I think.
Yes.
And so they brought me in on day... God, I'm getting the old calendar out now. I think it was day 12. So normally they take you in for a scan. If you ovulate around day 14, then they go, great, we'll book you in. Like transfer. Yeah, everything looks good. I have said from the start, I don't ovulate on day 14. I just never have. I've had to remind people of that several times. So I was like, I'm coming in, but you're not going to see anything. And they were like, that's fine, just come in anyway. Yeah, they saw me on day 12.
That was last Friday, I think it was.
Last Friday. It's now Thursday, isn't it? Thursday the 3rd of April. Right, so they brought me in. They were like, yeah, they're like, everything's going in the right direction. Obviously, it's not there yet. And I was like, yeah, figures. Then I went in on Monday and the follicles. So they're looking for a couple of things. I'm doing a natural frozen embryo transfer.
Could you just explain to people who are listening who may not know what that means?
Right, so that means it's basically sort of the second half of IVF. So it is easier, luckily, than a fresh round from the start, because we've already made embryos. So this means that from our first round, from our egg collection, we were very, very fortunate to have three other embryos to freeze. So they're in a freezer. Embryos in a freezer.
Why not?
I keep saying we've got embryos on ice, and that makes me think of Disney on ice. And then I like embryos on ice, and I imagine them like doing pirouettes, like dancing on ice. Embryos on ice, but they're not. Again, like, welcome to my brain, how
but
it works.
But also, because the embryos are like eggs, they wouldn't be able to stand up on the ice, so they would be all over the place.
Oh, they'd be terrible. I want my money back. So embryos on ice, 10 out of 10, like, highly recommend that show. Right. But yeah, so we've got them frozen. And so they are taking one of our embryos, not an egg. A lot of people say when you're having your egg transferred, I'm like, it's not an egg anymore, guys.
Nope.
It's an embryo. So that is my egg and Carl's sperm put together and made something beautiful.
It's very, very different, listeners, to say someone who goes and gets just their eggs frozen.
Mm-hmm.
It's very different.
Because eggs are just one cell, and an embryo now has lots and lots of cells. So our embryo, luckily, is more hardy, and is not all embryos survive the thaw, but it's much more likely to survive being frozen and thawed. And fit, touch wood, it should be a pretty good way of, you know, doing IVF. So luckily they just have to get our embryo out. I think they might get all three, because all three are quite a similar quality, unfreeze, defrost, and see how they develop and pick the best one, transfer it, and then freeze the others. Now, you can refreeze embryos. It's not like chicken in the freezer. Because I said that to a friend and he was like, oh my God, so, like, you can't refreeze meat. I'm like, no. Exactly. So you can refreeze them. Mm. We're hopefully talking to our wonderful friend Emma, the embryologist, soon. So she will tell me I've said all of this wrong, I'm sure. But that's the gist of it. So the idea is they pop one of our lovely, beautiful embryos that we've already made back in. And you can do this in two ways. You can either do this medicated. So they give you drugs and synthetic hormones to kind of manipulate your cycle. Or they can do it naturally. And if you've got a regular cycle, they can just track your cycle, monitor it with scans. You do the cycle tracking at home. And then at the opportune moment when you're meant to be nice and fertile anyway, they pop it back in. So that's what they are doing with me, is a natural, because I have a natural, a regular normal cycle. And in theory, it should be like, yeah, great, job's a good un. So they've been monitoring me with scans and went in, as I say, on Friday, went in on Monday. Now they're looking for a few things. They're looking for my lining to be nice and thick, which it is. It's thickening up. The lining of the womb has to be at least, I get this wrong all the time, 7 millimetres?
Or was it 8? I can't remember.
I can never remember, but 7 or 8. But mine is already past that. It's looking good. My fabulous lining back for round 2.
I can like imagine it's like full of sparkles.
Glitter. Can you imagine? I wish. Maybe there's like a disco ball in there or something. It's like a bougie hotel. Not that bougie hotels have disco balls, but I mean, mine would, but yeah.
Yeah.
But they are also looking to see that I'm growing a lead follicle. Mm. Now, at the time of ovulation, you've got lots of follicles in your ovaries. One of them should be prominent because that's the one that hopefully contains an egg. That in normal ovulation, that's the one when you're trying normally, that's when you hope will get fertilized naturally, etc. They're not looking for my egg for fertilization. They're like, we don't need it. We've got the embryo already. So it's really weird. In this cycle, we can't try. And it's so weird, me tracking my ovulation, getting positive ovulation, but we're not allowed to go for it and be like, yeah, because obviously, I mean, I'm sure you could, but you'd risk ending up with twins. Sounds like a normal problem to me.
Sounds terrible.
I know, right, that they tell you can't. So, yeah. So, I mean, that method has not proved successful for us anyway in the past, but it's very weird to be like, yes, ovulation, okay, but we're not using that egg. But they're just tracking it to make sure that I am at the right stage and everything is, you know, developing as it should be. So they're looking for this follicle. I do have a lead follicle,
right?
It's on my right side, which is cool because I never you never normally know this. No. I've had a little insight, so it's on my right hand side. And they're monitoring it growing. Now it should be growing at a rate of 1 millimeter a day. Really, it's been growing slowly and it's still a little bit small. So yesterday I went in and it was still only 14 millimeters. And at this point in my cycle it should be maybe 17. I've just had my LH peak, which is, again, if you don't know, you do these ovulation kits, like these little tests. They look a bit like pregnancy tests, but they tell you if you're about to ovulate because they monitor a hormone called luteinizing hormone, or LH, which like spikes in your body when you're about to ovulate, just pre-ovulation. Yesterday, I hadn't had my LH peak. When I reminded our lovely nurse that my cycle wasn't 28 days, it's like maybe 30 to 34 days it can be. Then she was like, oh, okay, well, that makes sense. And I said, I never normally ovulate before day 20. And she was like, well, that makes more sense. Day 19, sometimes maybe. What are we now? I think we're day 18. Oh, I don't know what day again. Back to the calendar. We are day 18 today. So yeah, it looks like I'm going to ovulate around day 19, 20.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is pretty bang on for me, but it's not 14 like most women, I feel like a lot of women don't ovulate on day 14.
No.
But that for me is normal. So she was like, oh, okay, well, that makes more sense then. But there was a moment before that where she goes, she went, don't hate me. I'm like, oh God. Whenever they say that, yeah. I'm like, I'm ready for some bad news. She was like, we might have to cancel this transfer. And I went, what? Like, huh? And she was, then I said, no, but I'm not close to ovulation yet. Like, and I showed her all my previous cycles. Now I'm so glad that I've been tracking my cycles for about 2 years because I can show her, I can be like, this is when I've ovulated on this. And these are the methods that I use. I use temperature tracking. It's not for everybody, but I like it. I use the LH tests. I track my cervical mucus. So I once had a GP tell me to just stop it, just throw all the tests in the bin, stop the tracking, throw out the thermometer. She was like, it's only going to stress you out. And now I'm like, I'm so glad I have tracked my cycle because I'm the best person to go, this is normal for me.
Yeah, and imagine otherwise, if you hadn't.
Oh my God, I would have just gone, oh, okay, well, that must be that then and we'll cancel it.
And I'm sure that's probably happened.
Probably, yeah. The nurse said as well that they get some people going in who've never used, going in for a natural transfer that have never used LH tests before, ovulation kits. Right, like, how have you got to this point? But anyway, they're not for everyone. They do stress some people out. And they took me, when we first started using them, a good couple of months to figure them out anyway. So I'm glad I'm in a rhythm with that. So, however, so she said that is more normal in that case, and they're bringing me back in on Friday. But she said if that follicle hasn't grown how we think it should have by Friday, there might be a problem. It might still not go ahead. Now, I feel like clinics are on the side of caution and they have to tell you that. I'm going in tomorrow and I'm booked in at a time when a doctor's available so they can give a second opinion, etc. So that'll be Friday by tomorrow. So I should get some answers and we should be able to know then if the transfer is going ahead or not. But at the same time, I am aware that the follicle, I've just had my LH peak, right? And they say that it should be at about 17 millimetres. Well, yesterday it was 14. Mm. There's no way it's going to be 17 today. So something is making me go, in the back of my head, I do still think it might be all right, but in the back of my head I'm like, okay, but why?
Yeah, why does it have to be 17? I don't get it. They're not using that follicle.
I did ask that as well on email and they said they'd tell me tomorrow.
Great.
They're like, shut up, just come in tomorrow.
Yeah,
I'm so impatient, but I'm like, I don't understand that bit really. I think it might be to do with my hormone levels, and obviously they can't transfer an embryo if your hormone levels aren't right naturally or whatever.
But they're not testing your hormone levels.
No, I'm
so
going to ask.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, again, tomorrow I'm going to ask if there's any blood tests they can do for my hormone levels. They might say yes, they might say no. Again, it's another question to ask. But I don't know. The thing is as well that's confusing is that everything has been bang on normal for my cycle for me. Nothing's been off. It's been exactly my LH peak when I think it's going to be, my cervical mucus when I think it's going to be. So it's really confusing. And it's hard to know. It's just hard to know what's going to happen. But this is the thing with IVF, right? It can throw you a curveball at any point. And a natural cycle, in theory, should be the straightforward path for me because I ovulate. I have a regular cycle. My body, in theory, does what it's supposed to do. But this is just like exhibit A of how even then, sometimes it can be not quite straightforward. And I'm like, oh, this was meant to be like, great, wait for ovulation and then pop it in just after. Job's a good and have a baby. But yeah, now I'm like, huh? Like, just to hear like we might have to cancel is just like, oh, it's a bit of a gut punch, isn't it?
Yeah, and your like, head must be spinning because also you have to wait until Friday to find out.
Yeah. And I get it, there'd be no point in seeing me today. They seem to do things on a Monday, Wednesday, Friday sort of schedule, but nothing would have changed enough today. So I'll go in tomorrow and I'll see what they say. I'll probably like argue as best I can and plead and be like, please can I have a transfer, because I really want one next week. I don't know, you just gear up for it. And the thing is, if we don't have one next week, I have to remind myself that we've not lost anything. We've not lost an embryo. That's the main thing. You know, there's a lot of anxiety in IVF anyway, and it's just another anxiety you don't need, I think.
Yeah.
You know? And also, you know, this is silly. Again, a couple of silly things that I know that other people will be thinking, yeah, I've done that, is first of all, my birthday's next week, so I would have loved to have a transfer on or around my birthday. It still might happen. Because I said to you, Sean, I was like, well, you had egg collection on your birthday and it worked. I was like, so if I have a transfer on my birthday, it's going to work.
Good omen.
not sure if it works like that. But I don't know. I was just like, oh, I'll have something. I'll be in a hopeful place on my birthday. It's going to be the most sober birthday in my adult life. But, you know, I've already found somewhere for brunch that does non-alcoholic champagne. So that's quite nice.
Ah.
Booked it for the 12th, which is my birthday. But that's one thing. And then another thing is an April transfer is the last chance to have a due date, if it works, to have a due date in 2025. And that's the last chance to have a 2025 baby. And I just, again, people who haven't been in fertility land will probably go, yeah, but big deal. Like if it's born in February or January instead of December or November, like, you know, does it matter? And the answer is no in the grand scheme of things. But like when you started the year going, this will be our year. I don't know. It's just that thing. Again, you play the tape forward and you go, well, by the end of the year, we might have our baby. And it's a definite thing of by the end of the year, we won't have. Even if you're a lot closer, I don't know. It feels like a really strict cutoff, which is quite a hard pill to swallow. But when I found out that we were going to have a transfer the middle of April, I was like, oh, yes. I mean, it's cutting it very fine. It gives you a due date of like 28th of December, and as we know, babies are not always on time. But do you know what I mean? I was like, oh, still in with a chance. And then it's just that thing of an IVF, like having the goalposts move and you having no control over it, and there's zero control anyway, and then you think you know where you stand, and then IVF goes, yeah, you got too cocky, you got complacent, it's all going to change, you know. But look, it hasn't happened yet. They haven't cancelled it yet. We're still in the game. Yeah. It's not over. It's not over till it's over, you know.
But I know that you're very good at like bouncing back and being positive and going, no, it's okay, it's okay. But, you know, this situation and where you must be right now is actually not okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's just not ideal that we're, like, don't get me wrong, we're lucky to have another chance. But, you know, it's we never wanted to have to do it a second time anyway. It's a very difficult, I don't know, it's a very hard place to be. The thing is as well, we are in limbo land. We are in no man's land. I said this before, but, you know, I'm feeling incredibly jealous, and I'll name that emotion. Like, it's not very pleasant, but it is horrible jealousy at my friends who have had success, either naturally or IVF, or, you know, which I'm so pleased because they got out, you know, like no one wants to be here, but horribly jealous because they get to plan for the rest of their lives. And I know it's not that straightforward on the other side. But, you know, they listen to me and probably just go, oh, yeah, that must be so hard. And then just go back to being happy and excited. Mm. And I'm like, I can't wait to be able to start planning for the rest of my life.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah. And also, like you said, you've got close friends who are probably going to be in a 2025
baby club, yeah, or are gonna be, yeah. And I mean, welcome to your mid-30s. That's just, you know, that's just how it rolls. But you know, all this, the last couple of weeks, I've been like, okay, we're back, you know, we're back in a hopeful place. We've got another chance. And I just hope we do. I hope we can stay in that hopeful place. Carl actually said to me 2 days ago, I mean, it changes, it's up and down, but he was like, you're back. He was like, I feel like you're back. Aww. A little bit, you know, like, I don't know. But saying that, it's still hard. We still find it hard to get excited about things or plan ahead at all. You know, people say, what are you doing in the summer? Or, I don't know what I'm doing next week.
Yeah, yeah.
Really difficult. So, but, you know, I want to stay in a hopeful place as long as possible. Just, again, just when it feels like, this has been the theme since February, really, just when it feels like we gather ourselves and get up off the bathroom floor, like IVF can go, yeah, not yet. And give us another little kick. But it's fine, like, I hope that doesn't sound too dramatic, like,
but if you we were might being still be dramatic, going ahead, but that's okay.
Yeah,
like, it's totally okay to feel that way.
Yeah, I feel like we get a bit British about it, don't we? And we're a bit like, come on, you know, get on with it, stiff up a lip, you know, nothing's happened yet, and it keeps me in check. But we just got to see what tomorrow brings. Sorry, I feel like that was a proper like word vomit.
I think it's a good thing. I think it's good that you're, you know, talking about it, because there'll be a lot of people out there who go, amen to that. I know that.
Yeah, well, I just didn't even really consider the possibility that a natural frozen embryo transfer could be cancelled. Mm. Because I thought, well, great, the hard work is done, we've got, and it doesn't mean no success. Oh, if you can hear that sweep singing. Can you hear that?
Is that sweep? It sounds like the wind.
Yeah, he's...
It sounds like wind.
he likes to howl at certain things, and like certain theme tunes on the telly, certain songs, he will throw his head back and he will like have a good old sing. One of them is the Flash advert, you know, Flash, ah.
What?
Because it's got a dog in the advert. Right. And he looks at it, he's like, that's my guy. Anyway, I think he's stopped now. Oh, God, he's so noisy. Our neighbours are like...
What was it, do you think? Oh, no, he's back. What is the song?
It will be something like... what's on? I've left the telly on for him. It could be the This Morning theme tune.
This Morning?
Could be... He likes Lorraine. He likes the Lorraine theme tune. He likes the One Show. One. He likes that.
Oh, very good.
If he carries on, I'll shut him up.
He's in a family of singers. That's why.
Oh, I know.
I know.
Created a monster. yeah, I just didn't really realise that... I didn't even think that a natural frozen transfer could go wrong. I know that's so naive, isn't it?
It's not naive. It's not, because... In your head, you were like, okay, this all now makes sense.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
And like I say, it doesn't mean no success.
No, not yet.
If it is cancelled, mm-hmm. It just means the can is kicked a little bit further down the road. But it's mad, because already I'm like, and I'm hoping for good news tomorrow, and I'm going to argue my hardest. But then again, I don't want it put back if it's not going to work. If they're like, look, this, your levels are awful. Do you know what I mean? If it's going to reduce the chances, fair play. But I'm already looking ahead to the next cycle and going, right, I wonder if they'll let us do it in the next cycle. And then, okay, well, what are the dates? Well, we've got a wedding on this day.
Oh,
like,
God.
Will I be able to drink any alcohol? No, better not. Like, better just like maybe keep off the alcohol altogether, because it's too soon. And all these things that like play a part and make up the jigsaw of IVF, you know? It's just constant looking. Like, you live your life in cycles, right? You live your life from period to period. And I know that resonates with a lot of people who are trying naturally as well.
Yeah.
But I think less so, because it doesn't hinge quite so much on appointments and scans and meds, you know?
I mean, mad to think that there will be people who just don't even do an LH test and they just get pregnant. Like,
yeah,
mad.
A lovely friend of mine recently, I was trying to explain to her, she's got a baby, and I was like, you know, the LH test. And she was like, what? And I was like, did you ever use ovulation kits? And she went, no. She did, bless her. She's so kind. She went, I'm so sorry. I'm like, you don't have to apologize. It's fine. You don't have to feel bad, but that's good. Blimmin' heck, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just a whole big old jigsaw of IVF. Like, jigsaws are quite boring anyway, aren't they?
Well, especially the ones that are like 1,000 pieces or something.
Yeah, that's me.
No.
Like, that's what we're doing. No, that is quite dramatic though. But, you know, that's where we're at. Yeah, Carl was just sort of like taking it in his stride. He's quite good at that. But he was just a bit like, well, all right. It's just the goalposts moving, isn't it? And what you think, and you gear yourself up for it, and you're like, okay, right. And then you work out the test day. Mm. You work, dare I say it, you work out the due date. That is getting a bit ahead of myself. But, you know, we're already, yeah, we're feeling hopeful, but we're already nervous about the outcome. We're already full of, I do get dread. I do get a sick feeling in my stomach when I think about transfer, not so much. 2 week wait in the test. Yeah.
Yeah, that. Now that's going to be...
That is...
You're away for some of that though, aren't you?
Yes. So just after my birthday, we're going away for a few days. We're going down to Dorset. We're going to take the dog and, you know, just run around on some beaches. All of us. hoping for some nice weather. Got a really cute Airbnb. And that's us really just trying to do something different, because the first 2 week waits, you know, I was doing my normal day to day working and all this stuff. And it's always going to be hard. I think in an IVF 2 week wait, it was excruciating. But I happened to be off from work for a few days. So I'm like, you know what? Let's try something. Let's try being in a different place and see if that helps. So that's the thing. I've got my birthday coming up. We've got a few like Easter plans and stuff. So you kind of gear up and you go, oh, but it's all right. And you put things in place. You know, you go, well, I'll do this and I'll do that. And this will help. This might help. This might not help. But we're going to do that anyway. Of course, unless, you know, a transfer was pushed back and we had to cancel our little trip or whatever. I don't think that's going to happen now, but that's what we're going to do. So we'll do that regardless. And yeah, we'll just see what tomorrow brings, really. I feel like I feel like I should just like camp out at ACU this week.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like set up.
Just go. And I was saying to Catherine before that maybe she should just get there before everyone even arrives, before egg collections that they do on a Friday, and go, I'm here now. Can we just check now?
Yeah, just like gate crash. They really would be like, you know, go away if I did that. Oh, God.
Tricky. But you're also doing, I mean, obviously you don't have to say, but you are doing... You're possibly going to do some counselling, aren't you?
Yes, well, therapy. So I tried the NHS counselling. It was all right. I felt like it was good when I was in quite a good place.
Yeah.
It was all right. The second time I had a session was just after our negative test. And yeah, I just don't think it really went deep enough. So I've been putting it off for ages. Going, I should get some psychotherapy, I should do this, should do that. And actually, now is the time, and I've bit the bullet, and I've got a call today, actually, just like a 15-minute intro call with a psychotherapist, but I'm fully intending to go ahead and do more sessions. So funny, like, Carl's like, oh, you've got your first session today. And I was like, well, I have, but it's just 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And then Carl went, I'm sure you can trauma dump in 15 minutes. I was like, challenge accepted. How much can I throw at this poor woman? But that would be nice to, you know, I don't know. I think everyone could do with it. And we're in a position, we're fortunate. It's another expense. But look, we're not paying for treatment at the moment. We're lucky to be treated by the NHS at the moment. Now is the time maybe to start unpacking some of that. Still doing my acupuncture with gorgeous Melanie, who I'm just obsessed with, really. I love her. However, she's on holiday this week. How dare she? But she's having a lovely, well-deserved break. And then she's said to me, she's like, I'll fit you in on transfer day whenever. Because I couldn't go on transfer day. And again, look, it probably doesn't have a bearing on the outcome. And it's more for my mind. I don't want anyone to freak out if they didn't have acupuncture on a transfer day. But I was like, let's try something different. Let's try going on the day, which I couldn't do before because I had an extra little scan. And she was like, I'll fit you in whenever it is. We'll work it out. And I was like, Melanie, you are just a little angel. So that's nice. So you know what? Like, yeah, we're as equipped as we can be, I think.
Yeah. And you're looking after yourself a lot, aren't you? Which is great.
Oh, my God. I said this to the nurse yesterday. I say the nurse because I don't know if they want to be named and stuff. But, you know, they do have names. but it feels a bit weird to name them without asking permission. But I said to her yesterday, I feel physically the best I've ever, like, I felt in a long, long time. My diet is, like, so good at the moment. I'm going right, extra protein, veg, fruit. I mean, yeah, I did smash a Lindt chocolate bunny on Mother's Day or to myself.
I mean, that's okay.
Who didn't, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Hydration, good. No alcohol, good. One coffee a day. You will have to prize that from my hands, I'm afraid. that's the last bit of joy in my life. So, but yeah, you know, like, I'm reaping the benefits of feeling good, looking after myself, getting out in the sunshine, walking the doggy, the weather here. Don't know where everyone is listening, but in the UK at the moment, we've had a little, like, you know, a little spout of good weather, haven't we?
It's meant to be 20 degrees today.
What? That is tropical.
Yeah, I know.
That's barbecue weather in the UK, isn't
it? Yeah. And in Scotland, that's taps off weather, they say.
Taps off.
Yeah. That means tops off. You take off. Your top off. Yeah.
That was more of an Irish accent.
It was Irish, but I couldn't do it in Scottish.
Tops off.
Tops
off.
Yeah.
Andrew's going to be like, stop. Andrew, Sian's husband is Scottish.
Yeah, he is.
yeah, like, no word of a lie, we're gonna walk around and smell barbecues later, so that's good. I did a workout this week and now can't walk because I did some like mild, you know, exercise. I lifted like probably half the weights that I would normally lift, and yeah, I'm still, my legs are screaming, but yeah, that's a good thing about a natural. I'm really loving being drug free. But yeah, the bad thing is that you can't quite plan things in the same way. You can't, even in a medicated, I think it's quite hard to preempt, you know, things. You still might not respond, etc., to drugs and all that stuff. But, you know, that's just the pros and cons. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to know?
I don't know. I'm sure everyone listening is just praying that everything goes okay on Friday. Well, actually, by the time this comes out, you'll know, won't you?
We will know if we're... Yeah, I'm sure. Might put something on the Instagram, just a little update, maybe.
People will want to know, yeah.
Will they? I'm always like, does anyone care? Like, they do care, obviously.
I think they will. If they're following the page, I think they will.
Still blows my mind that people listen to us. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. That is
crazy.
Weird.
Crazy. So, by the time this comes out, I will know whether we're going for transfer. Hopefully we're going to put this out on Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll know by then.
You'll know. So we're all praying. Come on, guys.
Yeah. And I'm hoping for everyone else as well. I know there's a few people whose timelines are syncing up with mine quite well. And I just want everyone to get their transfers.
I know.
Everyone to get what they want. You know, there's enough babies to go around, guys.
There is. You know. There is. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, should touch on, you had a little...
A boob issue.
You had a little booby thing going on. And we wanted to talk about this a couple of weeks ago, but we forgot, didn't we?
It's IVF came off related, guys.
Yeah, came off the call and Sian went, oh, forgot about my boob. How could you?
I know.
So well, explain, Sian, what's been going on?
Well, no, it's all fine now. I might as well just say that now. But after all the IVF medication, I actually had quite a large lump in my left breast.
Ugh.
Yeah. And I was like, you are freaking kidding. Obviously, your head goes to the worst place.
Yeah, of course.
And you go, cancer. Obviously.
Yeah, obviously. And yeah. I think for good reason, because when we find a change or we know if something's different, we know to get it. Like, obviously, don't scare yourself silly, but take it seriously. So,
yeah.
But again, an infertility brain does weird things to you.
Yeah, it really does. And I obviously Google.
Great, really good.
If you go on Google, you will actually find anything that you're looking for. So you'll find people saying, oh yeah, that's just the IVF drugs. But then you'll also find people saying, yeah, my IVF caused me cancer.
Oh, for goodness
sake.
And I
was like, oh no.
Sounds legit.
Yeah, I was like, oh God, here we go. But it was funny because I actually went into work and I announced it to my whole department because I feel like I've had so much
Guys.
Time off. I've had so much time off and I was like, I'm going to have another time off, guys.
Yeah, I did say to you though, Sian, you've not been in the Maldives, you know. You've had time off work for IVF. It's not a picnic, is it?
It's actually so true. Yeah. But yeah, went to the GP first because you have to do that, guys. Mm-hmm. And yeah, she did a good feel, and yeah, sure enough, she found it. She did say it's movable, which is interesting. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but she said it's movable. And then she said, I'll refer you to the Royal Marsden, which is a really fancy hospital.
Bougie.
Yeah, really fancy. They said there's like a NHS 2-week rule.
Right.
So basically, from the point you go to your GP, you should be seen within 2 weeks. And luckily I was, which is great. And they do really, they take it very seriously, which is really good.
And you were freaking out a bit, weren't you? Because that you were like, you maybe thought the GP would go, yeah, it's probably nothing. But I said, Sian, they can't. Because if they say it's probably nothing, they'll get people that go away and won't follow it up.
Yeah.
And then it comes back to, oh, I was misdiagnosed or I went to the GP. Do you know what I mean? So I know that alarmed you, didn't it?
Oh my God, yeah. Because she took it very seriously. And I was like, it's probably the IVF, right? It's the IVF. And she said, well, maybe not. I was like, great. Just what I wanted to hear. And then I did get referred and I went to the Royal Marsden and they were amazing. You were there like the whole day, but they were amazing. And they did, they can either do like x-rays or ultrasounds or all sorts. But they did an ultrasound on my boob and they actually found quite a lot of lumps.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I missed it. Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
But like not worrying lumps, we should say.
No, well, no, they confirmed it was absolutely fine. But it was really funny. Before doing the ultrasound, I had like a consultant drawing biro around all the lumps that she found. And I was like, oh, my God, this must be what it looks like if you have plastic surgery before you go in.
Yeah, maybe. All the lines. They do like arrows and stuff. Maybe I've just watched too much like American telly from the noughties.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you remember those makeover shows where they'd be like, we're just going to give you a boob job?
Yeah.
Mad, wild.
I can't believe they did that. 7 years younger. They used to do facelifts. Facelifts.
Yeah. Yeah, mad. Anyway, you weren't having your boobs done.
No, although I get this. I did go, because luckily my work offer private healthcare.
I thought you were going to say, my work offer boob jobs.
No, I'm afraid they don't. Not that I want one, I'm fine. But anyway, the private healthcare people, they actually put me down for plastic surgery, boobs.
What?
Yeah, they got it wrong.
Ah, that is so funny.
I know, I was like that's not what I want.
That's not why I'm here, guys.
Thanks. So, yeah, you know, NHS were great. And then they, did a check and it was all fine. And the woman did confirm that IVF can cause this, everybody.
And nobody tells you this.
No one told me. No one told me that this is a thing. But I know I react quite acutely to things like medications and things like that. And clearly, boobs have gone haywire. So there you go, everyone.
Boobs have gone haywire. They've gone mental.
They've gone mental.
We thought it was important to say because there will be people maybe going through that and really panicking. Obviously, get stuff checked, guys. You know, take it seriously, but it can be a real thing. And you didn't know that, did you? No one had said that.
No idea. And the other thing is, good little tip here, everybody. Apparently, you should check your boobs for lumps either after your period. Yeah, after your period. You shouldn't do it before your period. Because apparently that's when Catherine's now like checking her boobs.
Just giving myself a good old feel on the call. It's quite comforting sometimes. Do you ever just sit there and cup your boobs?
No. Oh. Never done that.
Me neither.
That is so funny. Do you?
Try it. Yeah, try it. Put your hands under your armpits and just like, oh, it's quite nice. Oh,
that's quite nice, actually.
Yeah.
That's like a hug, a self-hug.
Yeah, just hold your boobs, guys. It feels nice. Anyway,
actually, it does feel
nice. You were saying.
No, just don't check them around your period, because apparently that can give you a false impression.
Oh, don't check them around your period.
It needs to be after your period.
Okay.
In your follicular phase, guys.
We're here for your IVF, for your lumpy boobs. We're just a one-stop shop, really.
Yeah, totally. But yeah, just thought I'd let people know not to worry too much, but also get it checked out.
Perfect. Mm. Yeah. And anything else to say, really? I think that's it for the updates. Sian is good. We get a few messages going, where's Sian? Is she all right? She is fine, guys.
I'm totally fine. I'm more concerned about everybody else and obviously Catherine. And
you're so kind. Oh,
no,
God.
But really, it's just, it does sometimes. I think it's so nice people sending messages and they're going, you know, it must be really hard. I'm like, guys, it's not as hard as what Catherine's going through. Okay.
You are the best cheerleader, Sian, I've got to say.
No,
you're just like, whoa.
Well, just, I don't know. I guess unless you've been through it, and I know I've only gone through it once, but if you've gone through it, you get it, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So Sian is the best at just like standing at the sidelines, cheering from the sidelines, you always say.
Yeah.
Don't you? Just Team Catherine.
Always, always. And I'm just praying that...
And Team Carl.
He's team, of course.
Kind of a part of this, you know.
Let's pray. Yeah.
She's a babe.
I'm not religious, by the way. I don't know why I keep saying let's pray.
You do a lot of praying.
Yeah.
For someone who's not religious.
I'm not.
Like, sometimes it can mean let's just send a message out, or I think of that Take That song every time. All I do each night is pray.
I don't know that one.
And a part of you again someday. Carl knows the full dance break, and I've made him do it at a wedding before.
Really?
Quite drunk, yeah.
That's hilarious.
I was like, do it.
Amazing.
He did it. I got a video. To be fair, there are a few other boys that knew it, so they all did it. I mean, Carl's a performer, so that makes a bit more sense. And he does amongst many things, he does a Take That tribute band.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course he does.
Yeah, so that's why he knows it.
Yeah, then it would be, I guess, like unless he's like an ultra big fan.
I think he is as well, you know, just loves the boy band.
To be fair, that documentary on Take That was amazing at Christmas. I don't know if you saw it. It was really good.
I didn't, actually. There's really been a lot of boy band resurgences, haven't there?
Yeah. Yes.
Anyway, that was the tangentist of tangents. Yeah, anyway, all I do each night is pray. That's the vibe right now.
That is, yeah. Better Take That.
Yeah. And what's the other one? Oh, Madonna, Like a Prayer. That's
that one I do know.
That's a banger, that is.
I heard that was about sexual activity.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Ooh, matron.
I know. I could be very wrong, but we had a performance.
Probably was.
Yeah, I think it was. At school, we had a performance. It was like a house thing. And one group did like a prayer. And I was like, ooh.
Oh, guys.
Yeah.
But this is, what was that, the 80s or 90s? It was wild back then.
90s.
Mm. Yeah, because at my theatre school, we've got, we rehearse like these troupes and stuff, and the little ones for their dance troupe are doing a piece based on 90s boy bands and girl bands, which is really cool.
Really
but
cool.
But the amount of lyrics we've had to change.
Really?
Yeah. Backstreet Boys. Am I sexual?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We've gone, am I a stagecoach star?
Really?
Yeah. And like, yeah, and Bewitched, C'est la vie, the line that goes, show you mine if you show me yours. Nah.
Oh my God.
Not having that. We've gone, I'll be mine and you'll be yours. You'll be mine and I'll be yours instead.
Oh,
I'm just rewriting all the lyrics basically because I'm like, oh, 90s songs are quite risque.
Actually, they are, aren't they?
Our version is clean. Clean, yeah, and clean.
Of course. Clean. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Interesting anyway. Stuff. Anyway, I think we might be towards the end, mightn't we?
Yeah, the end is near.
The end is near, but we...
Of this podcast. We're going to try
it's
and...
It's just begun.
We're going to try and come back weekly for a little bit, aren't we? Maybe do another 10 or so weekly.
Mm.
And then maybe have a little break again and, do it proper.
Yeah. We've got a few guests coming your way. Oh, that's the doorbell.
Is it a guest?
No. I don't know.
Can you imagine if it's Emma the embryologist? Hello.
I know. No. She's already here. Right. I need to go and answer that. Give me a sec.
Go and answer the door.
Hang on a sec. Yeah. I'll restart
it.
Yeah, no, guys, it was, nothing of him to be worried or it doesn't matter. Just a doorbell.
Just the doorbell, guys. Don't worry.
Yeah.
But we'll be back soon with some more eps and, or like weekly now, hopefully.
Yeah.
And
weekly.
In the meantime, you can follow us on Instagram at
IVFBFFpod at, well, Instagram.
That's Instagram. IVFBFFpod on Instagram.
Yeah.
You can email us at
IVFBFFpod@gmail.com.
That's the one you were about to do, wasn't
it? That
was it?
The one I was about to do, yeah.
Send us an email, send us a DM. Like, yeah, as I say, we've got a little community. We should do something. We should, like...
A meet-up would be cool.
Yeah, meet-up or something.
Wouldn't that be
walk,
nice? Yeah.
We're going to talk.
That would be really nice, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so drop us a line, tell us where you're at, share your story if you feel able to. I'd love as well on our episode soon to get some, like, real stories.
Me
like,
too.
More voices, you know, so.
I would love to hear some other people's experiences because it's so different for everyone.
Everyone is so different, yeah. Mm. There's so much we can't cover, so. Yeah. So, yeah, sending everyone big love, and if you're in it with me... treatment in IVF, in even just, you know, trying times, then we're sending you a big hug.
Huge hug. And I'm sure we'll all be listening to hope that everything goes okay for Catherine. That's what we're hoping.
Thanks, my love. See what they say tomorrow. And
all right
then.
All right,
well, speak to you later, guys.
Speak to you later.